won't be before you long. Got some meetings after service, and we're still delivering toys. We bless God for all of your prayers with our outreach, a gift from Dad. Amen. We were partnered with Fatherhood Initiative, and we were able to bless 25 children whose fathers are incarcerated. Amen. They didn't just get some eye Christmas. They were blessed. Amen. And so we thank God for what he's doing in that area. Amen. If you've never been incarcerated, or if you've ever been incarcerated, or you've had someone that you're dear to incarcerated, you know how important it is to have a gift from them on Christmas. Amen. And we just thank God again for all that he's doing through Growth Temple Ministries. Listen, real quickly, I want to talk to you. We're going to continue on in our sermon series, Real Disciples, Part 4. Real Disciples, Part 4. And I know that I told you that I was going to try to do a sermon that was related to the Christmas season. And I promise, I tried. I tried. But as I started working on the word for today, all I could think about was real disciples. And I knew that I was going to carry on with this series earlier yesterday, because while I was listening to a sermon on YouTube, I heard a preacher say, the kingdom of God is not subject to a calendar. The kingdom of God is not subject to a calendar. And I knew right then that God wanted me to continue on with this series. And I believe in my heart that he wants me to continue on with this series, because though God isn't, and I want you to catch this, though God isn't confined to time, he knows that humans get caught up with it. God is not confined with time, but he knows that humans get caught up with it. And what I mean is, all over social media, even in private conversations, the closer that it gets to the end of the year, the more people are making plans and promises and goals for next year. The people that are making goals of, you know, losing weight and are eating how they want to right now, because come January the 1st, it's on. Amen. You see, you know, I tried it, right? But my family is real life tripping on my diet these days, and so, because I said, you know what, and I'm not even one of those first of the year type people, you know what I'm saying? But this time, you know, because I was just like, man, I've been thinking about banana pudding and all this other stuff, and I was like, boy, but I'm gonna eat like I want to right now, become the first of the year, it's on. And not in my house, amen. Then you see, if you've been on Facebook at all, you've most likely seen the post talking about in however many days are left in the year, the divorce will be final. Anybody saw that? In so many days, the divorce will be final. And that's a popular one this year. And they are basically saying that when and if the new year arrives, they are done with all the negatives in their life. All the negatives in their life, they're done with, and they are done with everything that has stopped them from being their best them. And I get it. I really do. I get it. But my question is, so does that mean that until the new year, you're going to stay connected to negative things and people that have hindered you from being the best you? That's one of my questions, because to me that doesn't make sense. And by the way, I got another question. What if, watch this, what if what has kept you from being the best you? Here's the question. What if what has kept you from being the best you is you? Here's another one. What if the negative is you? So the question, the other question becomes, are you ready to do what's necessary to be better? You know, we see it all the time. We see people move from different states to start over and get this fresh start. But my thought process on that is, until you do something about you, that fresh start will inevitably go stale real quick. And you will find yourself in the same situation that you were in before you moved. Lord have mercy. What I'm saying, beloved, is if something doesn't move in you, then you can move every year and things will eventually return to your norm because things haven't changed in you. Lord have mercy. Miriam, can you hit that volume button for me? I'm getting some feedback, a lot of feedback, in fact. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, the New Living Translation, the Apostle Paul says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing, watch this, the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There's a whole lot in that verse, and we've talked about that verse even, I believe, last week we dealt with that verse, but there's a whole lot in that verse that I've never taught from in the pulpit, but I want to take a look at it for a second now, just for a second. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. How many of us will just be real and shame the devil and admit that we've been guilty of that in a time or two in our lives, copying the behaviors or the customs of the world? And I want to catch you up on something. The word custom means a traditional and widely accepted way of behaving or doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. A traditional and widely, and here's the way, accepted way of behaving or doing something that is specific to a particular society, place, or time. And that's a deep definition, because what I see is behaving in a way that is widely accepted. I used to do that. Amen. I used to do that because that is what I knew. But when I began to study the Word of God, I quickly learned that just because it's widely accepted doesn't mean that it's kingdom right. Lord have mercy. Just because it's widely accepted doesn't mean that it's right in the eyes of God. And isn't that what this whole Christian thing is about anyway? I was thinking about this, Pastor, this morning. Isn't that what it's about? This whole Christian thing. The major part of it is doing what is pleasing to God. Doing what brings God glory. And so one of the biggest problems in that there alone is that it has no room for you. It has no room for me. Amen. When we decide to live a life that is pleasing to God, that brings glory to God, watch this. What we are saying is, it is no longer about me. On the strength of what he done, Lord have mercy, on the strength of what he done for me, my life now operates in glory to him. Oh, Lord have mercy. In this definition, it says society, place, and time. So when we think about that, what is majorly accepted or accepted widely, because in this society, place, and time, let's just be real. Homosexuality is widely accepted, but it ain't right in the eyes of God. In this society, place, and time, sleeping around is widely accepted, but it ain't right in the eyes of God. You understand what I'm saying to you? In this society, place, and time, scheming to come up and be better and have more is widely accepted. It's understood because it's hard out here. But the problem is that way of thinking is not pleasing in the eyes. It's not right in the eyes of God. Again, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 says in the New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But here's the hit. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn and know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The next part of that verse that we need to deal with is, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Beloved, I promise you can go to the gym and you can get swole. You can go from overweight to, sexy Dex, a thick Shonda. You understand what I'm saying to you? You can be swole, but if your mind ain't changed. And so let's take it deeper than that. And so you could go to the gym, get swole, become this Adonis type of a person, right? And your mind actually shifts and it changes. But the problem is it hasn't shifted and changed by the ways of God. We still got a problem, right? And so I want to be very clear about this. If you are a new creation, you don't get to stay the same. And we would think that that's just like, duh. Right? But I don't know about anybody else in here, but I'm honest enough to tell the truth about it. There was a time that I was trying to be saved, staying the same. Huh? It's so conflicting, isn't it? Let me rabbit hole. I was in prison, and if you ever been to prison, they got something called the loop. Okay, and so what we do to pass time, clear our mind, think about things, or just kick it with the homies, is we walk the loop and we talk while we're on the loop. Well, when you're on the loop, you actually, in your mind, you don't say that you're walking the loop, you say you're in the car. And so you might be walking the loop and somebody might be sitting over there and they'd be like, y'all on the loop? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, let me get in. And we stop and we'll actually do this. I mean, you know, you don't have much to do in prison. You have to have an imagination. And we'll actually go, jump on in. And so you jump in the imaginary car, right? And now we all walk together, but we're really not walking because in our minds we're riding. Okay. And so we're riding the loop. And so we're riding the loop. JC says, where is this going? And so we're riding the loop. And one day we're talking about, yeah, we're going to the club, man, and this, that, and the other, and we're doing all of these things, right? And I'm using profanity, I'm talking crazy, and so we get to the club in our minds, right? And so the waitress done, I mean, we're still walking on concrete, but in our minds we're in the club, and the waitress comes over and they was like, everybody's ordering their drinks, and I said you can bring me a Henny, and she said you want ice, and I dropped my watch in the glass. I said, no, I brought my own ice. I mean, just crazy, right? You And so there was a brother in the loop in the car with his name Nezzy. He's from Louisville and his name was Nezzy. And Nezzy was about that life for real, right? And so he's having a ball. And so we're just nothing's saved about this interaction that we're having right there, right? But I'm saved. Yeah. I'm holding Bible studies for the young and aggressive on the yard, but I'm saved. But right now, I'm all in my flesh and I'm on the loop in the car at the club with my watch, which is so diamonded up, it's ice in the glass. You can pour the Henny on it, but I'm saved. We have a ball for about 2 hours. The next day, I'm headed to Bible study. I'm headed to my spiritual father at the time, Leroy Carter. He's teaching me the word of God, right? So I'm headed to Bible study. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays was Old Testament scriptures. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays was New Testament scriptures. You dig? So it's time for Bible study. So I'm running out with my Bible, and I see Nezzy. And Nezzy said, "Where you headed to the loop? Can I jump in the car?" And all of a sudden, I get holy. And I said, and I'm like, "You see this Bible?" In my mind, I'm thinking, "You see this Bible in my hand? You see these notes? You see I'm focused?" And I said, "Nah, man, I'm headed to Bible study where you need to be headed." And I went on about my business. A few hours after Bible study and chow and everything we was out on the yard and we were walking around and I walked up to Nezzy and the crew and I said, "What's up, fellas? What's up?" And Nezzy just kind of like bounced my hand off of him. I'm like, "What's up with that?" He said, "Let me holler at you real quick." He says, so we walk over to the side and he says, I need to be clear. And I said, what do you mean? He said, "Who are you now?" And I said, What you mean, bro? He said, are you the gangster or are you the Christian? Because you can't be both, Prem. You don't get to be both. Which one? He says, and I don't mind you being the gangster, because you know that's how I get down. We can do it all day. You know what I'm saying? He says, but at the same time, bro, I don't mind you being the Christian because I'm proud of you. That ain't what I do, but I'm proud of you. But what you are doing is confusing me. And even if I thought about coming over to your side of Christianity, you make me walk away from it because you're showing me two sides. We don't get to be new and be the same. Let me say it again. We don't get to be new and be the same. You cannot be both holy and worldly at the same time. You can't. You can't. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, if it was my Bible, if it was my Bible, I'd probably write it in the word worked out. You understand what I'm saying to you? But it's not my Bible, and I don't desire to write one because the one that's been written is perfect. So I had to make up, and every day, let me tell you something, beloved, I want you to catch this. This ain't like I made this decision and then it was on. No. Every morning, and my wife will tell you, every morning that I wake up, I have to make this decision. Who are you gonna be? When the world is coming at me on every side and there's things that make me want to operate in the way that I used to operate, I have to ask myself, what you are you going to be? Because everything hinges on it. You every day have to wake up when you wake up and ask yourself, am I going to be the man or woman of God, or am I going to be the man or woman of who I used to be? And everything hinges on it. That's why we can't switch up. That's why we can't trade. That's why we can't play games with it. That's why we have to set our faces, like the Bible says, like what? Like flint, huh? And we can't be afraid of their faces. It is, look, the Bible says, for God I live and for God I die. Let me tell you something. There were some times in my life that I was willing to die over some things that brought God no glory, that didn't do anything for anybody but me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it ain't no way that I can be all the way 100 when I was in the streets for the enemy and then cross over to kingdom work and then be halfway. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I could serve Satan better when I was in the darkness than I would serve God now that I'm in the light. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. We don't get to be, Lord have mercy, new and the same. So you have to make up in your mind. You have to make up in your mind that you are new in Jesus, or you're the same you. See, make it plain, Pastor. I can't be supreme and Pastor Lyons too. Huh? And there's comes, anybody know what I'm talking about? And every now and again, some things will arise in your life that you'll be like, this ain't really a quest for Pastor Lyons. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody knows what I'm talking about when you really have to put to death an old man every day? Because if you don't put that old man to death every day, some things could go awry. You might need bond. You understand what I'm saying to you? You might have to pay somebody's insurance. It could go real bad real quick. And so even in those moments, when those moments arise, it is actually a test by the enemy to see if you are who you say you are. And so the first thing that happens when hell hits my life, when confrontation hits my life, when crazy hits my life, I get to kill it myself. Because Preem can't show up. Preem don't teach. Preem don't disciple. Preem don't help folk to their next level. You hear what I'm saying to you in here? So the first thing, I've been saying this since the Old Grove Temple, the first person I confront when something confronts me is me. Because I have to remember who I am. You have to remember who you are. And we don't get to deviate from it because something is operating in a way that is displeasing to our flesh. Yeah. And it's vital. It's vital. If you're going to lead the young people that you're connected to a better way, it's vital that you wake up every morning. I got a rule in my house in the morning. What's that rule? First what? Say it loud. First 30 minutes, don't say nothing to me. Can I tell you why? Can I just be real with you? And Nicholas, I ain't even being holy. I ain't even, this ain't prayer time. This ain't devotion time. This is, I've got to prepare myself to deal with the world. 9 times out of 10, I'd have already been up at 4:30 and done devotionals and then laid back down and went to sleep. And when I wake up 7, 8, whatever, you understand what I'm saying to you? Leave me alone. I need 30 minutes. I don't want to treat you bad. Give me my 30 minutes. I don't want to say something out the way. Give me my 30 minutes. I don't know about no other man in here, but it is hard being a man. I'm going to need every time. When I think about the bills, when I think about my daughter's school, when I think about my wife and things that she's going through, when I think about the church, when I think about the people that I love, when I think about the people that I'm going to have to deal with that day that's going to get on my nerves, that if it wasn't for a little bit, I need 30 minutes. I need 30. And in that 30, I've never shared it with my wife, but here's what's going on. I'm deciding. Mm-hmm. I know y'all wake up holy. I know y'all wake up Shando Baba. But the way I'm set up, you understand what I'm saying to you? The way Stephen Lyons is set up, I just need to sit there for a minute. I don't need no TV. I don't need no phone. I don't need no YouTube. I just need to sit there and remind myself why I have to decide to be pastor and not preen. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't understand me. Y'all don't understand what I'm talking about in here. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. 'Cause it gets hard out here. You know, it's hard out here for a pastor. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Y'all knew it was coming. I don't know why nobody being surprised. You knew it was coming. Pray for me. Listen. So I'm going to say it again. You have to make up in your mind. Are you new in Jesus? Or are you the same you? Again, you don't get to be who God designed you to be and who the world defines you as. One has to die so that the other can live. The New Living Translation makes what Paul says plain concerning this very matter in Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And it says, get this, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live, watch this, in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Pete Gaines, that 30 minutes, right, that I was just talking to you about, that 30 minutes, my old self is being crucified, has been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Here's that 30 minutes. So I live in this earthly body by what? Trusting in the Son of God. In that 30 minutes, what I'm doing is I'm trusting. I'm deciding to trust. And I'm going to decide it every day, God willing. I'm deciding to trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when the bills is crazy, I'm trusting in the Son of God. I'm not going back to my former skill set that would take care of everything financially. I'm trusting in the Son of God. When I got Shorty throwing texts that she shouldn't be throwing because she ain't my wife, you understand what I'm saying to you? I am trusting in the Son of God. When I got somebody that's talking about doing some type of a danger to my family, I'm trusting. You see what I'm saying to you? Whatever the situation that is trying, that the enemy is using to provoke you to be the old you, you are trusting in the Son of God to continue on in the ways of God. Lord, have mercy. So for me, when I read this, it's always so powerful because the apostle says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. Lord, have mercy. My old self. That is something that I've got to remember every day, that my old self has been crucified with Christ. Lord, have mercy. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. And when hell and high water rises up against you, the first thing that you want to remember is that the old man, when let me tell you something, beloved, when the old man begins to rise up, when everything is trying you and testing you and trying to play you out of character and out of position, the first thing that you ought to look at your old man and say is, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be dead. And I don't know about none of y'all, but mama, I don't just kill myself once a day. I have to kill myself periodically through the day because I can be a whole trip. You understand what I'm saying? And so every now and again, I kill myself walking down the steps when I done slipped on something that somebody done left on the stairs. You know what I'm talking about. And then every now and again, I slip. I have to kill myself when I start the car, but it ain't that much gas in it because Miriam done left me. You know, she done played me wrong, done drove it all out, and then brought it home and ain't said nothing. And I'm late for work. I got to kill myself. And then when I get to work, Clint said, I know something about that. And then when I get to work, watch this. When people begin to come at me that is unlike Christ, I've got to kill this flesh. When that old man begins to pop up, I've got to stop everything going on around me and put him to death, because if I don't, I'll trick everything off. That's why you can't let the old man kick it. because if you let him kick you, he will kick who you're trying to be out. He will kick who you're developing into out. He will kick the new you out, and you will begin to operate in ways that you said you would never operate in again. So I love this verse. My old self has been crucified with Christ. When it says that we are crucified with Christ, being crucified with Christ means that we are no longer, under the penalty of the law. Let's put some context to this, okay? I don't want you just to look at this one-sided, but being crucified with Christ means that we are no longer under the penalty of the law. That penalty was paid by Christ on our behalf. When Christ was crucified, it was as if we were crucified with him. You understand what I'm saying? That penalty was fully paid, just as surely as if we had been crucified for our own sins. When Christ rose from the dead, it's as if we rose too. And you should always get excited when the preacher says, in some denominations they say it every Sunday, but on the third day when he got up. Let me tell you why I don't trip about that, because every time somebody reminds me that he got up, something on the inside of me gets excited, because if he got up, that means that I got up. Since I was crucified with him when he got up, I get up too. Lord, have mercy. And some of us ain't never seen nobody get up, but ain't you glad, beloved, that you serve a God that got up, and on the strength of him getting up, you ain't got to stay down. My old self has been crucified. Lord, have mercy. My old self has been crucified. It is no longer I who live. Nicholas, the Lord, I'm going to say this too, had you on my heart this morning. And he says, share this with you, because you're a powerful instrument for the kingdom of God. Every man, I want you to catch this, okay? Every man, I ain't tripping on the ladies, but the men, I want you to catch this, okay? It is no longer I who live. You feel me in the back? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And every now and again, people gonna try you two ways from Sunday, right? And they're trying to figure out why you haven't responded the way that you would normally respond. And now, and sometimes you ain't even got an answer for it yourself, but I got one for you today. You can say more than it's God. You can say, see, this life that I'm living. So you would be on the floor right now, but because this life that I'm living, I no longer live it. And the living that you see actually happening, you feel me, Marcia? The living that you see actually happening in this fleshly body is not me living it. It is the Christ in me. So it's kind of like I'm just doing what the Lord says does. And ain't you glad that no matter what the situation is, no matter what time of day it is, no matter where I might be, I'm still always hearing from the Holy Spirit, turn left, yes, Holy Spirit, turn right, Holy Spirit, pray for him, yes, Holy Spirit, let that go, Holy, yes, Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? It's not me, and you better be glad that it ain't me, but because it's God that's living in me. Boom! Some of them, y'all, just send some text to your haters and tell them, you better be glad it ain't me. You better be glad it ain't me. You better. Ain't me. Ain't me no more. So I don't get crazy because you talk crazy. It ain't me no more. So pride don't rule me and make me operate in a way that ain't of who I claim to be. It ain't me no more. But that's why the Bible says, greater is he, Lord have mercy, that is in me than he that's in the world. Paul says it so powerfully. The me you see ain't me. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, I say it all the time, if people are able to push your buttons, it's because you ain't moved your buttons. When you're new in Christ, you understand what I'm saying to you. Folks shouldn't even be able to get to you like they used to get to you no more. People shouldn't be able to get up under your skin like they used to no more. Because the me that you see, I know it looks like the me that you used to get on nerves a couple years back. But baby, I just look that way. I ain't that way no more. So when you do this, I just go. And when you say this, I just go. Because the me that you see is actually him that's living in. God, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Ain't me no more. And so I want you to get this. Now the risen Christ empowers us to live for him in a way that pleases God. Do you know that you've got kingdom responsibility? Did you know that? You've got kingdom responsibility. There is kingdom expectation on your life when you say that you are a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a kingdom expectation on your life. Because why? God empowers you to live for him, so he expects for you to. One verse Paul said, he said, walk worthy of the call. Woo! You hear me? He said, walk worthy of it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't walk just any old kind of way no more, because you ain't any old kind of way. When you do, when you get down as you are worthy of the Lord. So I don't get to do the things that I used to do. I don't get to say the things I used to say. I don't get to agree. Watch that. I don't get to agree with the things that I used to agree with, because I walk in a way now that is worthy of the call. So when they say something like, now you go to church, you brand new. Thank you. Finally, you get it. Because he that is in Christ is a what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Satan conditioned us. You know, back in the day when we was in the world, if somebody called you new, you'd get offended. Ain't you see how Satan plays a game with what God says is right? Yeah, oh, you brand new now. You ain't gonna call me brand. No, thank you. Now you get it. Now you're finally catching on. It's all right to be new in Christ. Lord, have mercy. So being crucified with Christ means that the old life is dead and gone, and we now walk in the newness of life. Being crucified with Christ means that we have a new commitment, and that commitment is to God. We are dedicated to the service and glory of the Lord, and that dedication destroys selfishness, and it surpasses ties to family and friends. We have taken up the cross to follow him. Let me just go ahead and make that plain. When you become new in Christ, how your family don't even matter. Oh, it's quiet in here now. I don't know about that. You better know about that. You better know about that. Amen. And I got family sitting in here that will tell you that I have lost family because I stand on this. I have lost children because I stand on this. And I love them with every fiber of my being. But for God, I live. And for God, I got to let some of them go. And for God, everybody can't come along. And for God, there's some tendencies that can't operate no more. For God, I live. And for God, I die. And that's hard talk, isn't it? That's hard talk. Do you know that Jesus' following wasn't so crazy? Because there came a time when everybody walked away from him, and the disciples said, well, Jesus, this is hard. In fact, do you remember the biggest crowd that Jesus in history ever had? And I'm talking about it was thousands upon thousands upon thousands. They all came to see what the Messiah was going to say. And Jesus walks out and goes, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man, he ain't got nowhere to lay his head. Peace. And everybody looked around. And it's, Messiah, what's this that you say? Jesus. Birds have nests. Foxes have holes. But the Son of Man, can you imagine him looking at thousands of people that's journeyed for hundreds of miles, hundreds and hundreds of miles to hear what this great man going to say? And he goes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Still won't rock with me? And the Bible says that they begin to walk away from him. They began to walk away. All of them began to leave, and nobody was there but the 12. And Jesus looked at them and said, "So are you leaving too?" And they like, no, we with you, but your sayings are hard. when Jesus stepped on the scene and said, "Do you think that I come to bring peace?" Huh? Of course, everybody said, "Yeah, you Jesus, you the Prince of Peace. Surely you came to bring peace." Bruh said, "I didn't come to bring no peace. I came to hand you a sword. And what you're going to do is you're going to cut everything away from you that's not that is stopping you from being with me, that is not like me." So you said, "Well, okay, that's easy to do." No. It's easy to do when it's your haters. But when he says something like, "We're going to cut mother from daughter-in-law and son from father," and in other words, he's saying, "We're going to even cut family ties if family ties get in the way of you being tied in alignment with me." See, because we come from that, I don't know about y'all, but I come from that generation and be like, FOE, family over everything, the devil is a lie. Jesus said, "Who is my mothers? Who is my brothers? My mother and brothers are those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Listen, and he wanted it to be understood, not Joe, not Joseph, but my Father that is in heaven. You see? Hard sayings to be real disciples. You got to be okay with hard sayings. You got to be okay when you got to say, I can't show up. I love my sister with everything in my being. She did one of the coldest things in the world. Her daughter, which I love my niece. I love her dearly, married a woman. And my niece reached out to my sister and said, "I want you to come to the wedding." And my sister said, I can't, because coming says I support. And if I support that, even though I love you, I love God more. If I support you, I dishonor him. Lord, have mercy. You understand? Hard sayings to be real disciples. Hard sayings. And you pray that those that you love, our children and all of that, we pray that one day they come to this full understanding that look, it is all about God. And in the moment that I pick you over God, I was lying the whole time. God, do y'all hear me in here? The moment that you pick others over God, what you say is, I was lying the whole time. All of your Christian credibility is out the door. So what do? We stick to the hard sayings. Why? Because the desire is, you see that I mean this so much that I'm willing to even lose you. And then what you pray is that they say something like, I know how you love me. So if you're willing to lose me, this must be real. And I'm coming your way, his way. That's why some nights I cry myself to sleep, missing some of my children. But I know that if I hold out, Lord have mercy. If I hold out, if I stay on the wall, Lord, you hear me? We got to stay on the wall with broken hearts, tears in our eyes, missing people from Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners that's supposed to be at the table. But we've got to hold on to the clarion call, because the desire and the prayer is that they come on over. But they won't if we agree with them. And they not right. Real disciples have to make real decisions. Kingdom disciples make kingdom decisions. Let me just go ahead and bless you today. This ain't no walk for the faint at heart. This ain't no life for the soft. You understand what I'm saying to you? This ain't no life if you're going to get caught up in your feelings. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because God's got a kingdom expectation of you. And the investment was so crazy because the investment was his son and he wants something on the return. So let's bring it to an end. The third part, of Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, in the New Living Translation, one biblical, it says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is what? Good and pleasing and perfect. And Lord have mercy. In other versions of the Bible, the word pleasing also means, like in the New King James Version, it means acceptable, okay? And so God's will for the believer is acceptable. Now while I was dealing with this this morning, this kind of blew my mind. Because when we look at good, pleasing, and perfect, because we tend to be caught up with self, we think that we're talking about that's for us. but let me show you how good God is. So the word good, Lord have mercy. The word good means the definition that I found that was powerful says in alignment with God's character. So when you see that good, pleasing and perfect, or good, acceptable and perfect, what you're seeing is good meaning in alignment with God's character. Okay? That's for him. But it blesses you. It's for him, but it blesses us too. You see how cold God is? So God's will for your life is to be in alignment with his character. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken a loss being in alignment with his character? You have? You've taken a loss being in alignment with God's character? I think not. God forbid. Got a better question, though. Have you ever taken a loss being out of God's character? Yeah. Operating in ways that's not of God. You ever took any losses that way? So why do we and we didn't just lose once, right? We took a few losses, right? You know why? Because what we was hustling for, it was so appeasing to the flesh. Oh, if it would just work out. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, if you would just do the right thing. Men, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, because see, women get caught up with emotional things. Men get caught up with monetary things. If I could just get the raise. If it would just work out, right? And so that allure it draws you from his character on the strength of it just might work. Lord have mercy. Penitentiaries are full of people who have the mindset that it just might work. I did most of my 20s in prison because it just might work. But here's the hit. God's will for your life is to be in alignment with his character. Now, to get this, that you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Watch this. And I told you in other versions of the Bible, pleasing also means acceptable. So God's will for the believer is acceptable. It's acceptable to him. He wants you to operate in his will because his will is acceptable to him. But watch this. How many of you have ever rocked in a situation that was not acceptable, but you stayed in it anyway? And when you finally got the strength to get out of it, right? Or when you got delivered out of it, right? It took you a minute to get your mind back right, because what was unacceptable wasn't just unacceptable. It meant to destroy you. It messed your head up. It had you rethinking things that you know, if you wanted to even be a part of things that God meant for you. The Bible said that God said man should not be alone. But have you ever been in a relationship that you got out of and said, you know what, I ain't doing that no more? That's Satan. I ain't doing that no more. Because the reality is, it's not that you shouldn't do it anymore. It's how you should do it. This time, let's do it in the way that is pleasing before the Lord. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me in here. Okay, let me get on out here. Let me get on out here. Now listen. So then you see the word perfect, right? And I'm gonna mess this word up. And I did that thing where you Google and you say the word and you say, how did you say it? And I did it twice. And even before I left out the house, I did it one more time so I could say this word. And I got to it, and I knew I was gonna forget how to say it. But here, the word perfect translates the word teleosis. That ain't how you say it. We got to do it better. Let's see. It says. Come on, Sonya, help me out here. Telos, there it is, Telos. And I was going to say Dolores, Tenois. Say it again, Willie. Telos, yeah. I'm going to put it on the Facebook page. We're going to find out. What it means, I want you to see what it means. It translates from the Greek language, and it means having attained the end or purpose. Complete, perfect, or mature. How many of you know, beloved, there is a purpose that God wants to see you obtain? When you know, we do a lot of funerals here, right? When it's our time to lay in that box, right? God's desire is that we will have attained the purpose that he decreed over our lives. So let me put it to you like this. You can leave here 10 million strong, $10 million strong. Two beautiful dream homes. You got one in the South. You got one in the West. You understand what I'm saying to you? You got beautiful cars. Your children have come from the finest of schools, and you could have still failed in the eyes of God. You could have donated to every charity. You could have built the homeless houses and didn't charge them nothing. You could have done all of these things and still be displeasing in the eyes of God. God's purpose for your life is what he wants you to attain. Well, what is that? His will for your life. Well, how do I know his will for my life? Because you read the word. The word contains his will for your life. God wants us to operate in and fulfill the purpose for which he created us. He wants us to be not just mature, see, because you can be mature and still not be saved, but he wants you to be spiritually mature. So when you look at that verse for the last time today, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2 in the New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing or acceptable and perfect. It sounds like the transformation that we are encouraged to take on actually transforms us into real disciples. And when it comes to real disciples, I want you to catch this. A real disciple patterns their life after the Savior, and in every way tries to emulate him, not because they have to, but because we have studied him to the point that we want to. Let me say it again, okay? A real disciple patterns their life after the Savior, and in every way tries to emulate him, in every way tries to be just like him. Not because we have to, not because of a bunch of wills and wants and do's and don'ts, but because we want to. The word disciple comes from two Latin words, which means to learn or learner, okay? And within that word disciple, there is also another important word, discipline. A real disciple of Christ dedicates their life to learning of him and from him, but the learning is just one part. The harder part, y'all hear me? The harder part is actually applying what we've learned and having the discipline to do the hard things associated with this discipleship consistently for the rest of our lives. You have to be, the Bible says, be a pattern of good works. You have to consistently walk this walk. A real disciple of Christ doesn't try to, watch this, you ready for this part? Because we do this a lot. A real disciple of Christ does not try to get Christ and his teachings to align with our desired lifestyle. Instead, a true disciple aligns our lifestyle with Christ and his teachings. A real disciple doesn't need to put up a front, because they know that the measure of their discipleship is based on what they do when nobody else is watching. Here's a quote, and I'm done. The quote says, "The one indispensable requirement for producing godly, mature Christians is," you ready? "Godly, mature Christians." The one indispensable requirement for producing godly, mature Christians is godly, mature Christians. I said something in my closing. I said something that the hard part is trying to apply what we've learned and having the discipline. Ashley, while I'm on that, you've got a verse in that computer, Acts 2:42. We're out. I said the hard part is having the discipline to do the hard things associated with a discipleship consistently for the rest of our lives. Acts 2:42, it says this. It's my favorite verse as a pastor. Why is it my favorite verse? You hear me say it all the time. Because it means that you get it. It means that you get it. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, it says, all the believers, so how do we do the hard parts, right? How do we do what we've learned? Pastor, it is real easy for you to teach it. It's real easy for us to learn it. The hard part is applying it. And even more than that, it's hard to apply it consistently. In other words, it's hard to stay godly. Here's how you do it. The letters are a little small, so I'm going to read it for you. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and, watch this, to the fellowship. So when I first got saved, I had to stop. Nezzy taught me I had to stop hanging with the unsaved. The only reason you catch me around the unsaved is to win them to Jesus. I don't think I'm better. I don't think any of that. But here's the problem. See, the unsaved, it's a good chance they still doing what I used to do, what I used to like to do. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, when we talk about sin, you know, people try to be like, oh, that wretched sin, oh, that horrible sin, oh, that messed up sin. I don't know what sin you was in. If I'm being real, and if you're being real, the sin that we was caught up in, it was fun. It felt good. It was pleasurable. Yeah. And that's why we didn't let it go so soon. Because if we liked it, we liked it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Erdia, give me that. Give me that Acts 2. I'm just going to have to read it on my iPad. Somebody got that for me? Acts 2 and 42. And it says, and they, thank you. Thank you, Ashley. All the believers. So how do you do it? How do you go from living one way, scandalously, right, to holy? Let me tell you, you will not accomplish this feat by hanging still with the scandalous. You have to get with people that are of like mind. This is why we Kenneth, Kevin, and I are the originators of this thing of the men's group, right? We always want to deal with our men because we understand it ain't always easy. And guess what? When we're on that page and we're talking to one another, people don't even, I never say it, but it's helping me. Because I know that if nowhere else in the city nobody's saved or nobody's trying to be saved or trying to strive for God, I can look on the thing that Nick named Church Brothers, right? And I can go, I got a few. And if I want to put my heart out there on that thread, I know they not judging me because they get it. Because they fighting the good fight too. So get this. Here's how we do it. Man and woman, this is how you do it. All the believers, first of all, you're going to have to devote yourself to the word of God. And all we teach in here, and if you ever see us not teaching it, get up and don't come back. All we teach here, from the Sunday school to the Bible studies to the discipleship class to the everything, is the word of God. If we ain't ever teaching it, you get up, don't you come back. You ain't safe here. And if you're ever in a church that is not teaching the word of God, you get up and get out of there because you're not safe there. I ain't talking about what church makes you feel good, where it makes you walk down and say, he sure did preach. What are you talking about? I don't know, but he preached. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about everything that challenges. Let me tell you something. Real word challenges your soul position. Real word will challenge where your soul is. Real word will confront where you think you are and let you know where you need to be. So here's how we do it. All the believers devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, and to the fellowship. We got to kick it with each other. And to the sharing of the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. And it's not enough just to kick it with each other. We're going to have to learn to pray with each other. We're going to have to learn to pray with each other. Minister Wilma is over the prayer intercessory team here at Growth Temple, but that doesn't mean she's her and John and Glenda and Sonia and Benny is supposed to be the only ones that show up for prayer service. We get strong by praying together. We're going to start putting the prayer service on our Facebook page for even those that can't come out on Wednesday nights so that when we pray, if you can't make it, you can at least cut it on. And while you cooking, you can be praying. While you getting the babies ready, you can be praying. While you getting work clothes ready for tomorrow, you can be praying. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever you're doing, you can still, while you do it, be praying. So, 2026, if the Lord allows us to see it, it's our year. But the rest of 2025 cannot be overlooked. And we have to prepare to be what God has called us to be. Look around the sanctuary. It is twice the size of last week. Huh? Do you see the war? Satan, don't go, don't go, don't go. God, go, go, go. Satan, don't go, don't go, don't. God, go, go, go. 2026. It's going to be the year. It's going to be the year that we not just break out, but we break through. And here's the thing. The city needs us. That's not arrogance. That's not boasting. We are talking about what the city needs to hear. Jesus, unadulterated, no game plan, ain't no Candyland over here. Jesus, setting the captives free. That's what we're talking about here. Walking in the victory of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. So we don't got time for Christmas sermons. We don't got time to sing Jingle Bell. Every time we walk in this building, we got to be learning about Jesus and how to stay strong in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Listen, Will, now, I'm perplexed. Let's see here. If there's anybody, and I don't want you to leave after we have altar call because we have announcements. I don't want you to leave. But if there's anybody in this building that has not given themselves over to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we offer you the invitation to do so now. We offer you the invitation to give your life to Jesus. I'm going to take it deeper today because I'm feeling some type of way. Even if you say, I said it, I went down there and claimed it, and then I didn't really do it, it's okay. It's okay. But I have a desire. I have a desire to do it. I have a desire to be everything that I was called to be for God. It's in my heart. I think about it all the time, despite how people might hear me and might see me. It's in my heart to be everything that He's called me to be. Well, today we want you to come on down. Today we want you to say, maybe I haven't been in alignment with God. Maybe I haven't done everything that He's called me to do. Maybe I've just not pleased Him. Beloved, you won't be the first one. Beloved, you won't be the last one. We have all, the Bible says, fallen short. Lord, have mercy. We've come short of His glory. But today, you can make up in your mind for the rest of my life. It don't mean I'm going to be perfect. It don't mean I'm going to get it all right. But for the rest of my life, I'm going to strive to be pleasing, acceptable, perfect, good unto God. If there's anybody in the building that desires that today, we offer you the invitation to come on down.